6 questions in your exam, so I'll not revise them.
Now he is answering those questions. Before answering the questions, he appreciates those questions. Vyasa uvacha. Iti samprashna samhrishto. Vipranam raumaharshanihi. Pratipujya vachastesham. Pravaktum upachakrame. Iti samprashna samhrishto. Samprashna means good questions. Prashna is question, samprashna is good questions. Perfect question. Samhrishto. Hrishta means becoming happy. Samhrishto means very happy. Seeing these very good questions, he became very happy. So vipranam romaharshanihi. And romaharshani is the son of romaharshana. So pratipujya vatestesham. Pratipujya. Pujya means worshipping. Pratipujya means just written worship. So it could be worship or glorification or appreciation or whatever. Someone appreciates you. In return, you also appreciate. That's what pratipujya means. So vachastesham pravaktum upachakrame. So he started glorifying the sages and congratulating the sages for asking such beautiful questions. He is very satisfied to hear these questions. Why a devotee is satisfied when someone asks him a question? Means a question related to Krishna, not any question. Not any stupid questions. Right? Unnecessary inquiries, not like that. So a devotee is satisfied when someone asks him about Krishna because he gets an opportunity to glorify Krishna. A devotee takes great pleasure in glorifying Krishna. So when someone asks him, please tell me about Krishna, they'll be happy. Like that. Now Suta Goswami, before answering their questions, he is offering prayers to the person from whom he has heard Bhagavatam. Who is that? Sukadeva Goswami. So Suta Goswami heard Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. Yam pravrajanta vanupetam apeta krityam. Dvaipayano virahaka tara ajuhavam. Putreti tanmayataya tara vobhinedu. Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimana tosmi. Yam pravrajanta vanupetam apeta krityam. Dvaipayano virahaka tara ajuhava. Utreti tanmayataya tara vobhinedu. Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimana tosmi. Yam pravrajantam anupetam apeta krityam. So, very important point mentioned here. Pravrajantam means going away for sannyas, renounced order. So, although he is so young, he is just entering renounced order. He has renounced my home, father, mother. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'll just go away. So, Sukadeva Goswami was entering renounced order. Right at the time of his birth. Anupetam apeta krityam. Anupetam. Upanayan samskar, you know, putting this sacred thread. So anupetam means without having undergone such ceremonies like this Brahman thread ceremony, sacred thread ceremony, he didn't undergo. Anupetam. Apeta krityam. So no other prescribed duties he has seen, no other reformatory ceremonies. He didn't undergo any purificatory processes which are meant to be followed by people who are strict followers of Varnashram. So according to Varnashram, there are some duties to be performed. Some reformatory samskaras have to be performed. But Sukadeva Goswami did not undergo any of such samskaras or sacred ceremony or anything like that. He is just going. Then Dvaipayana, our Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, Viraha Katara Ajuhava. Viraha means separation. So yoga means connection. Viyoga means disconnection, separation. Viyoga and viraha both are more or less same. Viraha means he, out of his feelings of separation from his son, Dvaipayana, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasadev, he is running behind his son Sukadeva Goswami, calling him, please come, come, come back. My dear son, today is your birthday, you should come back. Like that he is running behind him. He is calling him, Ajuhava. Putreti tan mayataya taravo bhinedu. But his putra, son, our Sukadeva Goswami is not responding. Who is responding? The trees are responding. Taravo abhineduhu. Taru means tree, abhinedu means resound. Only resound is coming from trees. Now you just go to this or go in the Govindaji temple or some other temple and then everything is free. Nobody is around. You start calling someone. You get some kind of resound. To some extent. Echo. So, not echo. Echo. Echo village is echo. Some other echo you get. Resound. So, taravo abhinedu. So, only the trees responded. Tam sarva bhuta hrudayam munimanatosmi. Trees responded to Vyasadeva's call. But it is said that Sukadeva Goswami has entered the hearts of these dull trees and then responded to Vyasadeva's call. That's why Sukadeva Goswami is described as Tam sarva bhuta hrudayam munimanatosmi. He has the ability to enter the hearts of even dull trees. Sarva bhuta hrudayam. Just like super soul enters the heart of everybody, a devotee of the Supreme Lord, someone like Sukadeva Goswami, so he can also enter the heart of dull trees also. What to speak of others? Tam sarva bhuta hrudayam munimanatosmi. We may think that trees are making resound, where is Sukadeva Goswami's role here? But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, no, trees are not resounding. Sukadeva Goswami is sounding through the trees. You should have faith. That's all I can say. I can't give any logical explanation for this. But because Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said that it is Sukadeva Goswami who made the trees respond to Vyasadeva's call. I'm just believing. Right? So, if Sukadeva Goswami has the ability to enter the hearts of even dull trees and make them speak, make them respond to Vyasadeva, why can't he enter my heart, a human being's heart, and make me speak Bhagavatam? This is the desire of any Bhagavatam speaker when he remembers Sukadeva Goswami before speaking. I speak Bhagavatam, but it's not because of my ability. It is Sukadeva Goswami's ability which is manifesting through me. I pray that Sukadeva Goswami enters my heart and make me speak Bhagavatam because he is Sarva Bhuta Hridayam. Sarva Bhuta Hridayam Munimanatosmi. Sarva Bhuta Hridayam means one who can enter the hearts of everyone. Sarva, all. Bhuta is living entities. Hridayam means heart. He can enter. So here Sukadeva Goswami's qualities are described. First, it is described that he doesn't need any reformatory ceremonies. He is beyond the need for performing samskaras. Second, he can enter the hearts of everybody. Right? So, and here Prabhupada gives three definitions. Dvija means twice born. One who takes sacred thread or takes initiation and then he is called Dvija. Vipra means not only has sacred thread but he also has knowledge of Vedas. That is Vipra. And there is Vaishnava who is above these two. Vaishnava means he may be second initiated or he may have knowledge of Vedas. More than that, he is a devotee of Krishna. Okay. So he is considered higher than this Vipra and Dvija. Dvija, Vipra, Vaishnav. So Sukadeva Goswami is a Vaishnav. So a Vaishnav is already a Brahman. Like that. And The aim of Varnashram Dharma is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee, Vaishnava. Anyone therefore who becomes a Vaishnava, accepted by the first class Vaishnava, Uttamadhikari, is already considered a Brahmana. So Sukadeva Goswami did not have to undergo any of such ceremonies because bhakti can purify, Krishna's mercy can purify, Vaishnava's mercy can purify anyone. Kirata honandhra pulinda pulkasha abhira sambha yavana kasadayah yanyecha papa yadapashrayashrayah shuddhyanti tasmaihi prabhavishnave namaha. So anyone can be purified, shuddhyanti. So Vyasadeva is calling Sukadeva Goswami here out of separation. A father may have affection for his son and he may feel separation from his son when son is not around him. But in this world, generally it is material affection. But Vyasadeva's affection for his son, Sukadeva Goswami, is not material. Because attachment to Krishna and attachment to a devotee of Krishna cannot be considered material. So feeling separation from a devotee is not material. If you are missing another devotee, your co-devotee, just because if I sit with him and chant in the morning, then my chanting would be better, right? I used to chant with him, I used to read Bhagavatam with him, I used to do so many services in the temple with him, so I am missing him today. So that's fine, that's perfectly fine, right? That's nothing material there. But if you are missing him for some other material reason, external reason, if he is there, he would have pressed my legs, massaged my legs. If he is there, he would have helped me doing this, doing that. So if you desire the company of other devotees for material reasons, that's not very much appreciated. Okay, third verse. Yasvanu bhava makhila shruti saramekam. Adhyatma deepamatititi rishatamtamondham. Samsarinam karunaya purana guhyam. Tam vyasa sunum upayami gurum muninam. Yahasvanu bhava makhila shruti saramekam. Adhyatma deepamatititi rishatamtamondham. Samsarinam karunaya purana guhyam. Tam vyasa sunum upayami gurum muninam. Akhila Shruti Saramekam means the essence of all Shruti scriptures. Akhila Shruti, all Shrutis. Saram, essence. Yahasvanubhavam, he has experienced, he has assimilated the essence of all scriptures. Sukadeva Goswami has assimilated the essence of all scriptures. He understood them, he absorbed them. So Adhyatma Deepam. What is this Akhila Shruti Saramekam? That is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Adhyatma Deepam, which enlightens the soul, Atma. It is the transcendental torchlight that can give enlightenment to the soul. That's why we named our magazine as Bhagavata Pradipika. Deepika means that which gives light, illumination, Pradipika. So Bhagavatam is that book that can give enlightenment to people, enlightenment to readers, right? So Adhyatma Deepam Atititirshatam Tamondham. So it is enlightening the soul, and Atititirshatam Tamo Andham, this darkness of nescience, this material existence, is full of ignorance. Atititirshatam means you can cross over this that ocean of nescience by taking shelter of this book. Okay. So, Bhagavatam is described in three ways in this verse. Akhila Shruti Saramekam, Adhyatma Deepam, Atititirishatam Tamondham. So, that Bhagavatam has been experienced and assimilated by Sukadeva Goswami. That is Yasvanubhava. And after having assimilated it, what did he do? samsarinam karunaya aha. Aha means he spoke out of karuna, compassion, on whom? Samsaris, who are rotting in this samsara. And what is this fourth point about Bhagavatam? Purana Guhyam, most confidential Purana. Right? It is not meant to be spoken to anyone and everyone. It's very confidential. Tam Vyasasunu Upayami Gurum Muninam. I offer obeisances to that Vyasasunu, the son of Vyasa. Nandasunu means son of Nanda. Vyasasunu means son of Vyasa. Tam Vyasasunu Upayami. I offer my obeisances to him. Gurum Muninam. Another quality of Vyasadeva. Gurum Muninam. He is the spiritual master of all sages. When Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, how to live and how to leave? Like that he asked. What is the duty of a person who is living in this world? What is especially the duty of a person who is about to leave this world at the time of death? So all the sages have different opinions, and then they didn't know exactly how to answer. So they were looking in that direction. Vyasadeva came. Sukadeva Goswami came. He came, sat on Vyasasam, started speaking, answering the questions. And all these sages unanimously agreed that yes, it is Sukadeva Goswami he is supposed to answer. Who is supposed to answer this question? We'll just sit and hear what he has to say. Thus he became the guru of all munis. Guru Muninam. He became the guru of all munis, including Vyasa Muni and Narada Muni, who are his guru and his param guru. Right. So here we see Bhagavatam is glorified in four ways. Akhila Shruti Saramekam, Adhyatma Deepam, Atiti Tirishatam Tamondham, Purana Guhyam. And Sukadeva Goswami is also glorified in three ways. Svanubhavam, he assimilated the essence, he assimilated Bhagavatam. Samsarinam Karunaya, he is compassionate on samsaris. Then Gurum Muninam. Third quality is, he is the spiritual master of all sages. So Bhagavatam is glorified in four ways. Sukadeva Goswami is glorified in three ways, in one verse. Very important verse. Tomorrow you need to quote this in exam. How many have already memorized this verse? 1, 2, 3. Good. So Suta Goswami's main inspiration from Sukadeva Goswami, apart from his knowledge and other things, is his mercy. Sukadeva Goswami is very merciful. That's why he spoke this confidential Purana for the benefit of everyone. Someone who knows the subject very well, generally he doesn't have so much patience to teach. Right? Some people teach. Because teaching means coming down to the level of the student and then trying to explain him things at a basic level. And this person already knows a lot, and then he's on a different plane. To come down to the plane of student and then teach him A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D. All these LKG teachers, UKG teachers, they have so much patience. They're supposed to have patience. A, B, C, D, they know. 100 times they heard, and then they are writing sentences and all. But still, when a small child comes, 3-year-old, 4-year-old baby comes, A, you should write like this. Not like this, like this. B, you should write like this. So, speaking the basics requires a lot of patience. Right? And revealing something confidential to people who are not that qualified, that also requires a lot of compassion. So, Sukadeva Goswami is doing like that. He is on the level of just meditating on Krishna's leelas, but he also speaks about Srishti Leela. He also speaks about the what is that, geography of the universe. He is basically speaking, get out of this universe. And Parikshit Maharaj is about to get out of this universe. And he describes the geography of the universe, in which corner what is there, in the fifth canto. And he elaborately describes the hellish planets also. So we need to understand that the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj is happening on a basic level in certain sections of Bhagavatam. Although they both are qualified to discuss much higher subject matters, still they are discussing some basic subject matters also. Same thing with Vidura and Maitreya. Vidura goes and asks him, I want to know about Purushavatara's creation. And Vidura is actually asking questions way below his standard of devotion. And Maitreya is answering them also. And it seems quite surprising. They can discuss Krishna's Leelas in Vrindavan. Why Bhagavatam is not only 10th canto? Why first 9 cantos are also there in Bhagavatam? Because it's mainly meant for us. Out of their compassion, although they can discuss much better, much exalted and esoteric subject matters, still they are discussing some basics also for us. Prabhupada writes like this in several places. It's not that they don't know. Okay. Samsarinam karuna, that needs compassion. So, the characters of Bhagavatam are filled with compassion. Next. In the purport, therefore, the materialistic world is the darkest region of God's creation. Yet unhappy materialists can get out of it simply by desiring to get out. This is an important point. Desiring to get out. So one should have a desire to get out of this material world. And Krishna will arrange. He does the needful to arrange for you to get out of the material world. But that desire has to come. But most conditioned souls in this world, they don't have desire to get out. They want to be here only. What to speak of desiring to get out of this world, they don't even want to get out of their job posts also. They don't want to get out of their houses also. They don't want to get out of their places of residence also. They don't want to get out of their bodies also. Body is there with you for one full lifetime. A house may be there with you for few years, couple of decades maybe. A job is there in your hands for hardly few years. Right? A phone is there in your hands, whatever may be the lifetime. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 10 years, if you happen to use it properly. And if the other new model doesn't tempt you. Right? So, but even such temporary insignificant attachments also create such deep sense of possessiveness in conditioned souls that they don't want to give it up. What is bigger, giving up this whole world? So, but if only a devotee manages to get that desire to get out of this world, he is very fortunate and he will get all assistance. So that is in connection to Atithi Dirishatam Tamontam. If one has desire to get out of this world, he can open Bhagavatam and then get inspiration how to get out. You get inspiration to get out and the process to get out. And after going out, what you will do? That also is there. I want to go out. That's what is the desire of Mayavadis. They want to get out of this world. But after going out, what they will do? Merge in, impersonal Brahman. Zero, nothing, no activity. Relax. Enough. Next. In the last lines of this purport, Prabhupada writes, Sukadeva Goswami, Bhagavatam is a transcendental torchlight by which one can see perfectly the transcendental absolute truth realized as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Next, Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaivana Rottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Narayanam Namaskritya. First he is offering obeisances to Naranarayan Rishi and Saraswati Devi, the spiritual counterpart. Then Vyasadev. Saraswatim Vyasam. So he offers obeisances to them. And Tato Jayam Udirayad. Jay. When someone does something very good, you say Jay, Jay. That means success. All success. All glories to you. All success to you. Good that you have attained success. So in that context, Jay word is used. Tato Jayam Udirayad. So the Bhagavatam is the means for that conquest, success, right? So the living being is in the state of forgetfulness of his relationship with God due to his being overly attracted to material sense gratification from time immemorial. So if he at all wants to conquer this perpetual struggle for existence, he must re-establish his eternal relationship with God. And Bhagavatam helps him to do that. That's why Tato Jayamudhirayati is mentioned. Okay, the Puranas are so divided that any class of men can take advantage of them and gradually regain their lost position and get out of this hard struggle for existence. And Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, the topmost Purana. मुनयः साधु पृष्टोऽहम् भवद्भिर्लोकमङ्गलम् यत्कृतः कृष्णसंप्रश्नो येनात्मा सुप्रसीदति. मुनयः साधु पृष्टोऽहम् ओ मुनीस् ओ नैमिषारण्य सेजस् साधु पृष्टोऽहम्. You have inquired very wonderfully. Your questions are very nice. So after offering obeisances to Vyasadeva, then Sukadeva Goswami, first Sukadeva Goswami, then Vyasadeva, Narayana Rishi, Saraswati and others, he is appreciating their questions. Sadhu Prishtoham, you have inquired wonderfully. Bhavad Bhir Lokamangalam. Why? Your inquiries are very relevant for the welfare of people in general. Lokamangalaihi. Yat kritaha Krishna samprashno. Why they are lokamangalaihi? Because they are Krishna samprashno. They are good inquiries about Lord Krishna. If one manages to know about Krishna, that kind of inquiry is beneficial for him also, for others also. Just because all these characters are inquiring about Krishna, we are taking interest to study their inquiries. Otherwise, so many people are inquiring about different things. Prabhupada says in this context only that there are people who inquire about so many things. The questions that pertain to Krishna are the sum and substance of all Vedic inquiries. Questions should pertain to Krishna. So the satisfaction of the soul can only be obtained by questions and answers on the subject of Krishna. Last sentence of second paragraph. Yenatma suprasidati, last line of this verse. Yenatma suprasidati means Krishna samprashna. If you ask good questions about Krishna, that itself is satisfying to the mind, satisfying to the heart, satisfying to the soul. So yenatma suprasidati. Prasidati means satisfaction. Suprasidati means complete satisfaction. So one's heart is completely satisfied only when he inquires about Krishna. So Prabhupada mentions in some of his lectures, people ask so many questions. A businessman will go and ask, what is the cost of these things now? Today, share market going up and down. Bhav kya hai? Bhav kya hai? Like that people ask. Prabhupada says like this. Bhav kya hai? Sabji ka bhav kya hai? Chawal ka bhav kya hai? So these are not the questions. They are very trivial, crude, day-to-day questions, which are just there to maintain one's life, one's body. But what are those questions that maintain your soul, that satisfy your soul? Krishna samprashno, yenatma suprasidati. Ask questions about Krishna, then soul will be satisfied. Ask questions about the cost of sabji and chawal and rice, body may be satisfied. Mind may be satisfied. Oh, I managed to negotiate with him and bring down the price. Right? Mind may be satisfied. But soul, for the soul to be satisfied, one needs to inquire about Krishna. One should learn the Srimad Bhagavatam and make an all-around solution to all problems pertaining to social, political or religious matters. Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum total of all things. So after offering obeisances and glorifying their questions, Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami answers the first two questions. What were the first two questions asked by the sages? Ultimate good for people in general? essence of all scriptures. So that will be answered in this. Answer is Dibhakti, devotional service. That will be explained in the next two verses. Savaipum samparo dharmo yato bhaktira dhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati savaipum samparo dharmo. Pumsa means humanity, mankind. Paro dharma. Dharma is occupation. What you are supposed to do, that is called dharma, your duty. Paro dharma means supreme occupation, the topmost duty that you have to perform. So the topmost and ultimate occupation that you need to perform is bhakti. Yato bhakti radhokshaje, that which invokes your devotion towards Krishna. So here this can be seen like this. Paro dharma is sadhana bhakti. Yato bhakti radhokshaje, that bhakti is bhava bhakti. If you do sadhana practice according to regulative principles, then that will invoke your emotion for Krishna, devotion for Krishna, feelings for Krishna. This is clear? Someone who has not studied NOD, you studied all this sadhana bhakti, raganuga, vaidhi, bhava bhakti. So, paro dharma is sadhana. Bhakti is, bhakti in the second line is bhava. Ahaituki apratihata. So parodharma is supreme occupation is bhakti. That's like one straightforward meaning. Parodharma yato bhakti radhokshaje. You perform that parodharma, supreme occupation, by which you invoke love for Krishna. Yato bhakti radhokshaje. Yato means by which you get bhakti for adhokshaja. That means paro dharma is indicating sadhana bhakti, and the bhakti word in the second line is indicating bhava. Okay, and how that bhakti has to be performed? Ahaituki, first word. Apratihata, second word. Ahaituki means no motivations. Apratihata means no interruptions. Then ayatma suprasidati. If you perform bhakti like that, without any motivations and without any interruptions, heart will be completely satisfied. Satisfaction guaranteed. Complete satisfaction guaranteed. Provided you do bhakti without any ulterior motives. Now, one may think that I am doing bhakti since 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. Why am I not satisfied? One has to ask this question. Are there any ulterior motives behind my performance of devotional service? Am I having any personal agendas, selfish desires behind my devotional activities? One has to check. Apratihata. Am I desiring some breaks? Do I want to serve Krishna continuously? Or I'll serve Krishna today and I'll take 10 days break and then do something else. I'll serve Maya. I'll serve someone else. Then I'll come back to Krishna's seva. So am I desiring interruptions in Krishna's service? Or am I having some ulterior motives in Krishna's service? If these two are there, we will not get satisfaction in the devotional service. But if one doesn't have any selfish desires or personal motivations, and if one doesn't desire any breaks, break in the sense, when it becomes night, you sleep. You take a break for the day. And rejuvenate yourself for next day morning program. Right? That's fine. That's not considered break. Whatever break you need for your physical maintenance so that you can serve Krishna properly, that is fine. That doesn't put you out of the realm of pure devotional service. 1 o'clock lunch time. 1:15, you have to take lunch. Take a break and then take lunch and then come back to service. That's fine. Desires for self-preservation doesn't put you out of the realm of pure devotional service, and they are not considered personal motives or ulterior motives. Right? So, ahaituki apratihata. Now, this word ahaituki can have different meanings. Ahaituki means no motivations. Ahaituki can also mean no cause. Hetu means cause. Ahaituki means that which is causeless. So bhakti doesn't have any cause. Bhakti is causeless. How? Now I ask you a question. Association of devotees, is it the cause of bhakti? Yes, Advai Prabhu, what is your opinion? Association of devotees is the cause of bhakti. Is it the cause? Simple question. No. So means you don't get any inspiration to perform bhakti if you associate with devotees. That's what you say, right? Associating with devotees, does it cause your bhakti? Just a straightforward question. It's already there in the heart. Okay. Fine. It's already there in the heart. Means you don't need association. Huh? You need. Okay, anyways. He needs, but he doesn't think that as the cause. Okay. Then all the charity, vows, austerities, then sacrifices and other duties that you perform as part of your varnashram and etc. are the cause of bhakti? Whatever vratas you have taken earlier. Are they cause of bhakti? No. Okay, great. Lord's mercy, is that the cause of bhakti? You say yes. What do you say? Rohit Prabhu. Rahul.
What
does he
say? All the causes
only. Oh, all are causes only. Fine. So Lord's mercy is the cause, you are saying. Okay. Association is also cause. Whatever rules and regulations we followed and whatever, they are also cause, according to you. Okay, fine. Does the mercy of a devotee the cause of bhakti?
Yes.
Okay. Which devotee? Pure devotee? Mercy of pure devotee is cause of bhakti? The Saleshu? Madhyamadikari. You already know the answer. Okay, great. If you know the answer, there is no maja in doing this exercise. So, because you already know, only you know, na? Others know? You don't know? Oh, you already read it. Mercy of Madhyamadhikari is the cause of bhakti. Are you sure? Yes. Explain. Means Uttamadhikari is mercy is not cause of bhakti.
Uttamadhikari
doesn't preach only. Okay. If he has to preach, he has to come to Madhyam level. Ah, great. Good point. Correct. So, Madhyamadhikari is the cause of bhakti. His mercy.
His bhakti is mercy.
His mercy is bhakti. Okay. So, basically, when we say association of devotees is the cause of bhakti, actually, association of devotees is the limb of bhakti, as he said. It's a part of bhakti. You can't say it cause of bhakti. Similarly, all these vratas and other mode of goodness activities, they cannot cause bhakti. They can bring you to the level of mode of goodness. They can make you clean and then they can make you have good habits, etc. But they are not cause of bhakti. Lord's mercy also cannot be the cause of bhakti technically. Because that would mean everybody is not a devotee. That means Lord's mercy is available only for bhaktas and others. No mercy. So we are imposing partiality on the Lord by saying that Lord's mercy is the cause of bhakti. This is one perspective. Mercy of Uttamadhikari. So Uttamadhikari doesn't discriminate between different people. For him, everybody is pure devotee. Whatever he sees, he remembers Krishna only. So technically, it cannot cause bhakti. Then Madhyamadhikari, he discriminates between people. Oh, prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha. If he sees the Lord, then he loves him. Maitri, devotees, he does friendship. Kripa, some innocent people, he shows compassion. Upeksha, arrogant people, he stays away. Prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha. So, Madhyamadhikari, because he discriminates, he can give you bhakti. But how can he give you bhakti? Is he the cause of your bhakti? Is his mercy the cause of your bhakti? Actually not. Because the bhakti in the heart of a Madhyamadhikari is the cause of bhakti in you. If he doesn't have bhakti, he cannot give you bhakti. So you will get bhakti through him, because bhakti is there in him. So the bhakti in Madhyamadhikari uses that person as an instrument to give you bhakti. And bhakti is there in you also. Yeah, that has to be awakened, as someone said. Right. So in that sense, bhakti is the cause of bhakti. That's why bhakti is called ahituki. It's causeless. Bhakti is causeless because it is not caused by anything else. Yoga cannot cause, Lord's mercy cannot cause, association of devotees cannot cause, the sacrifices, austerity, vows, and other varnashram duties, or even uttamadhikari, or any people, or the Lord, no one will cause bhakti. Bhakti only causes bhakti. That's the explanation given by Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. But as our Rahul Prabhu very nicely said, all these are more or less the causes of bhakti only, because they give us the uddipan and inspiration and motivation to perform bhakti. Right? So the viewpoint of bhakti is that the devotee, the process of bhakti, the Lord and his mercy are not separate items. All are included in bhakti only. So more or less all of them can do. Because 11th canto Uddhava Gita, Krishna himself says, bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. Without mercy of devotees, you cannot get devotion. Guru Krishna prasadapai bhakti lata bija. And Lord Chaitanya in Madhyalila, his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, he elaborately describes, without the mercy of devotees, you cannot get any bhakti only. So thus, this is one perspective to highlight the point that bhakti is the cause of bhakti. Just to explain and elaborate on the word ahaituki. So we cannot take certain things that we discuss very literally. No, mercy of devotees, association of devotees is not cause of bhakti. Rule out. That's not the way. Definitely all these are a part of bhakti. Next. That is ahaituki. So the bhakti in the heart of Shiva is the cause of bhakti in the heart of Prachetas. You know, Shiva trained Prachetas in the 4th canto. Yayati was so attached to his wife Devayani. But later he became a devotee. How? Because he was under the rule of Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj was ruling the entire Bhumandal. So Yayati is one king in one place. So thus, because of the influence of Ambarish Maharaj, Yayati became devotee. So like that, we have so many such examples where the devotion in the heart of someone, you all got devotion, or you all got into this process because someone has preached. 9th canto. 9th canto, Prabhu. Purport, Vishnu Chakravarti's purport. In 9th canto, mostly 18th or 19th chapter, last verse. First meaning I mentioned, no motivations. No motivations, and bhakti is not, doesn't have any cause. That is the ahaituki. Apratihata is bhakti can be performed in any circumstances. No interruptions in bhakti. Means you should not have any interruptions in bhakti. And a bhakta, a real bhakta, doesn't have any interruptions also. Means you don't desire interruptions. That's from your personal side. Second is, even if so many interruptions come, obstacles come in your bhakti, they will not actually disturb you. For example, Prahlad Maharaj's devotional service was like obstructed by Hiranyakashipu in so many ways. He is a devotee of Vishnu. Throw him into the ocean. Feed him poison. Let elephants stamp on him. Let snakes bite him. Like that, he is putting so many obstacles. Not allowing him to chant Hare Krishna. He says, you chant Hiranyakashipu Namaha, like that, you chant. But Prahlad Maharaj's devotion did not change at all. Just because his father is torturing him, he did not give up his devotion. So there is no interruption in his bhakti. His age was not a bar. He's a 5-year-old boy. Still he is doing bhakti. Age was not an obstacle for him. His demoniac birth was not an obstacle for him. He is born in demon family, not devotee family. That was also not an obstacle for him. So like that, bhakti cannot be obstructed. And he was trained in bhakti by whom? Narada Muni, when he was in the womb. So that infancy or being in a embryo stage, being in mother's womb, that kind of physical situation was also not an interruption for him. So he could grasp the devotion. Because the bhakti in the heart of Narada Muni caused bhakti in the heart of Prahlad Maharaj. So, mad guna sruti matrena maiga sarva guhashaye manogati ravichinna yatha gangambha swambhutau. That means, just by hearing the glories of Krishna, qualities of Krishna, the mind of a devotee just runs towards Krishna. Mad guna sruti matrena manogatir avichinna. His manogati, the course of his mind, avichinna, without any interruptions, just runs towards Krishna. Yatha gangamba sombudo. Lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hyudaharuhuttam ahaituki avyatihata ya bhakti hi purushottame. Ahaituki avyatihata. Same thing. This comes somewhere in the third canto, teachings of Lord Kapila. Similar concept is mentioned. So, bhakti is causeless and bhakti is ceaseless. Causeless and ceaseless devotion. There is an article at the end of your Bhagavad Subhojani, you can read that. Second article. See, if one has desire to perform bhakti, nothing can interrupt him like that. There can't be any excuse for practicing devotional service. And bhakti is apratihata, means it's not contaminated by jnana and karma. Like that, different perspectives are given. So, the adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction. So, if you have any ulterior motives, that itself is an interruption. Ahaituki means your bhakti is not unmotivated, it is motivated. That motivation itself will cause an interruption in your bhakti. So we have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. So earlier we were saying, right, yato bhakti radhokshaje, that is sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti we are saying. So sadhana bhakti is like the unripe mango, and bhava bhakti is the ripe mango. So, and bhakti has to be anya bhilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavartam. Fine. Next. So, when this kind of bhakti is performed, one's heart is completely satisfied. Yatma suprasidati. So, they were saying, right, our sages in the 9th canto, in the 9th verse or 11th verse. 11th verse, you see the last line. Bhuri bhadraya bhutanam yenatma suprasidati. Please speak the essence of all scriptures by which one's heart is completely satisfied. He said, essence of all scriptures is bhakti, and by performing bhakti, your heart is completely satisfied. Yenatma suprasidati. Question is answered. And he further says, Vasudeve Bhagavati. Bhakti yoga prayojita janayatyasu vairagyam jnanam chayata haitukam. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita. So if one performs bhakti yoga unto the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, janayati asu vairagyam, that will automatically give you renunciation, vairagyam. Jnanam cha, you will also get jnana, knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Jnanam cha yad ahaitukam, causeless knowledge you will get. What is this causeless knowledge? Because people develop knowledge, some people, to get impersonal liberation. Jnanis. Jnanis acquire jnana ultimately to get moksha. Sayujya moksha generally. So not that kind of jnana, not that kind of jnana. The jnana that you get by practicing bhakti is the knowledge about Krishna's name, fame, form, spiritual world, etc. So jnana karmadi anavritam visad. Anyabhilasa sunyam verse, you know, you studied, right? So bhakti is jnana karmadi anavritam. Means that doesn't mean there is no karma, no activity in bhakti. That doesn't mean no jnana in bhakti. Jnana karmadi anavritam. Avritam means covered. Your tendency to do some activity and your tendency to acquire knowledge, that should not cover bhakti. That should accompany bhakti. Bhakti is first. Bhakti is in the forefront. And karma and jnana are there behind. That means there is a lot of activity in bhakti yoga, but you do that activity in a mode of devotion. There is acquiring a lot of knowledge in bhakti, but you do that with devotion. Devotional knowledge you acquire. Right? So like that kind of knowledge we will get. Jnana kar, that is jnanam cha yada haitukam. So bhakti is the cause and bhakti is the goal of bhakti also. Bhaktir pareshana bhava viraktir anyatrascha. So if one eats food, you will automatically get pleasure, nourishment and relief from any hunger. Right? Tushti kshuti, pushti kshudapaya. Similarly, if one performs devotional service to the Lord, his bhakti, his devotion towards the Lord will increase. Para ishanu bhavo, his experience of the Lord will increase. Viraktir anyatrascha, his detachment towards other things also will increase. The bhakti cult is the topmost of all transcendental activities and therefore it is simultaneously sublime and easy. Prabhupada makes a brilliant statement in the next page, second sentence of the last paragraph. He says, the whole spiritual process leads to perfect knowledge of everything material and spiritual. And the results of such perfect knowledge are that one becomes detached from material affection and becomes attached to spiritual activities. Okay. By doing spiritual process, by doing bhakti, you will get knowledge of two categories, material knowledge and spiritual knowledge. Okay, within Bhagavatam only, there is a lot of knowledge about the material world. Virat Rupa, this material universe. Tattvas, earth, water, fire, air, ether, all this is all knowledge about matter. You get that and also you will get spiritual knowledge. Knowledge about Krishna's Vaikuntha Dham, Vrindavan Dham and all the spiritual relationships, all that also you get. So, by practicing bhakti, you acquire knowledge about matter and spirit and you get attached to spirit and detached from matter. After knowing about this and that, for example, you want to purchase a phone. You get knowledge about a third class phone and you get knowledge about first class phone. After that, you take the first class phone and you reject the third class phone. Simple, right? Similarly, by practicing bhakti, you get knowledge about matter and knowledge about spirit. And develop attachment to spirit and detachment from matter. Simple, right? But very difficult to implement it. Concept is easy. So, negation of non-essentials does not mean negation of essential. This is a very important point. Detachment from material forms does not mean nullifying the positive form. Oh, we need to get detached from material form. That doesn't mean you negate it and then get a opposite conception of spiritual form. So, for example, just to explain these two lines, what is the opposite of absolute truth? You will say, Sachin Prabhu, what is the opposite of absolute truth? Relative truth. Any other answers? Vikas Prabhu, what do you say? Opposite of absolute truth. English, simple, simple English. Absolute truth. Just what is the opposite of this? Absolute false. Two options we got. So he negated truth word. You took the opposite of truth, you got false. You took the opposite of absolute, you got relative. Relative false hota hai ka? you can't negate the both the words. You'll get a different you'll go to different direction only. So if you say it is absolute false, you're a Mayavadi. No, not you. I'm telling a word. That is Mayavadi conception. Absolute false means, what do the Mayavadis think? Mayavadis say that there are forms in this world, in this material world, there are forms. Spiritual world means no forms. In the material world, there are relationships. Mother, father, brother, etc. Spirit means no relations. And in this world, there is service, activity. And in the spiritual world, no service, no activity. Just sit, doing nothing. So, that is false. Negation. They just negate what they see in this world and they negate it and they get an imaginary conception of the spiritual world, absolute world. That's what Mayavad. And they say that nothing is real and this something is bogus. Actually, there is nothing. But when you are in illusion, you see everything. That's their point. Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya. Satyam mein kya hai? Kuch bhi nahi. Mithya mein everything is there. If you just use little common sense, that doesn't make any sense to you, their philosophy. Right? Here there is everything. There is supposed to be nothing there. Right? And that nothing is true, this everything is false. Absolute false. This is absolute false. Right? They take this truth and make opposite of it and get a false conception of that. And they say that is truth, absolute truth, and this is absolute false. Okay. And what do devotees do? Here there are material forms. Spiritual world, there will be spiritual forms. Here there are material relationships. There is spiritual relationships. Here there is material activity. There will be spiritual activity. So, relative. In the material world, things are in material terms. In the spiritual realm, things are in spiritual terms. So that is the right understanding that Vaishnavas have. Okay. That is the difference between Vaishnavas and Mayavadis. Absolute truth, absolute false. You can remember. Easy to remember, is it not? So that's what Prabhupada is saying. Negation of essentials, non-essentials, does not mean negation of essential. You need to be detached. It doesn't mean, oh, I will be detached from this object, this degrading object, but you get attached to something that is elevating. I will be detached from this and then do nothing. From minus, I will come to zero. That's not proper. From minus, coming to zero is not sufficient. Go to positive. Like that. This is the sign of a pure devotee. He says, this is not possible by dry reasoning. It actually happens by the grace of Almighty. In conclusion, one who is a pure devotee has all good qualities, namely knowledge and detachment. There is a lot of discussion on this, but we will restrict it. 8th verse. Dharmasvanishtitah pumsam Vishvaksena kathasuyah Na utpadaye dhidhiratim Shrama evahi kevalam. So far he has answered the first two questions. The essence of all scriptures is bhakti. The ultimate good for all people in general is bhakti. So answer is given. Now he is elaborating on that answer. From 8th verse to 15th verse, he elaborates on how bhakti is only is supposed to be gained by whatever action that you are doing. You may do hundreds of activities as a part of your current situation, social status or ashram status, varnashram or whatever. So you may do many things, but by doing all those things, you need to gain bhakti. That is the essence of next 7-8 verses, from 8th to 15th verses. 8th verse specifically he says, why varnashram dharma is not parodharma? The supreme occupation is not varnashram, it is bhakti. It is not varnashram, that's what is mentioned. Dharma svanushtitah pumsam vishvaksena kathasuyaha. Dharma means you may do your occupation. Svanishtitah, according to your own position. If you are a Brahman, you have certain occupation. If you are a Vaishya, you have certain occupation. Like that, according to your Varna and Ashrama, some duty is prescribed for you. But if by that activity, Vishvakshena Kathasuyaha na Utpadaye Didi Ratim. If the performance of your activity doesn't invoke an attraction in you to hear Krishna Katha, glorification of Krishna, which is the foremost limb of bhakti, Shrama Evahi Kevalam. It's a useless endeavor. One may perfectly perform his activities wonderfully, but if he doesn't dovetail those activities or connect those activities with Krishna, Krishna bhakti, that endeavor is insubstantial and useless. Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Simple, useless labor. So what has to be attained? Utpadaye yadi ratim. Rati, an attraction towards Krishna Katha, Vishvakshena Katha should happen. So,
whatever work occupation duty we do, that should automatically induce an attraction for the Lord's message.
It automatically doesn't give, na? You need to do that as an accompaniment to Krishna. Accompaniment to Krishna Bhakti means basically you perform Krishna's devotional service and you, for your self-preservation, you do other things also as a part of it. But all those occupations should not cover your bhakti, that should accompany your bhakti. That should act as an impetus for your bhakti. Okay, I am going and earning money. Ultimately, to offer that money to Krishna and to make some bhoga and feed Krishna, to make a dress and then dress Krishna nicely, to call Krishna's devotees and then make a program or whatever. So, your progress in the material life should enthuse progress in spiritual life. If material life progress is happening and spiritual life is just ruining, it's Shramaya Vikevalam. That's what he says. Every line of the purport is important. But we'll read only a few lines. Occupation will not help in bhakti. Yeah. Occupation will not help in bhakti means, I mean, you should have an intent to utilize the results of your occupation to perform bhakti. When you have a nice home, use it to make a Krishna's altar there and then perform bhakti. So occupation in itself, a material activity in itself, doesn't necessarily cause bhakti. That is not the cause of bhakti. But you can use that in bhakti. Getting right? What exactly is the question? Means you are doing any activity that is ultimately not directing you or inspiring you to perform bhakti. That kind of activity is useless. It's not discouraging doing, do nothing, just do bhakti. Actually, just do bhakti only. That's what is the ultimate message. But whatever you need to do for self-preservation, that you may have to do. We have so many Rajarshis, they were taking care of the kingdom so nicely, taking responsibility of the citizens nicely, but they were devotees. Right? You need to do the needful as a part of your tenure in this world in a certain situation. Right? But without bhakti, that activity is useless. That endeavor is useless. Right? If that activity is discouraging you to come to bhakti, then that is useless. But if that activity is helping you or assisting you in some way to do bhakti, that's wonderful. We'll come. Ramananda Rai asked the question. No, Lord Chaitanya asked the question to Ramananda Rai. First he asked, what is the highest sadhya? Sadhya means the goal of life. Then Ramananda Rai said, Varnashram. Varnashram Achara Vata, one verse he says, you perform, you act according to your Varna and Ashram, that is the best attainable goal, he says. Mahaprabhu says, Yeho Bahya, this is external. Put this out. I don't want this kind of answer. Then he gives second answer. He says, Swadharma Tyaga. He said, you do Swadharma. Next proposal he gives is Swadharma Tyaga. You give up your occupational duty, that is the highest. That is better than following your duty. Then he quotes Sarvadharman Parityuti. Just giving up, merely giving up your duties is not the highest goal. Yeho Bahya. Take it out. Then he says, okay. Then Jnana Mishra Bhakti. He says, you perform bhakti with knowledge, with some impersonalistic tendency basically. Jnana Mishra Bhakti is bhakti that is just tainted or mixed with some knowledge tendency, pursuit of knowledge, speculative knowledge. Then Mahaprabhu says, Eho Bahya. Then he gives the next proposal. Jnana Shunya Bhakti you perform. Perform devotional service without any extra endeavors to cultivate speculative knowledge. Then Mahaprabhu says, Eho Hai. This I accept. And what verse that Ramananda Rai quotes to substantiate that point? Anyone knows? Brahmaji's prayers, correct. Anyone knows the verse? Exactly. Jnane prayasa udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartaha sthane sthitaha shruti gatam tanuvan manobhir ye prayaso jitaditopyasi taistrilokyam. Jnane prayasa udapasya, give up your speculative useless endeavors to cultivate knowledge. Udapasya namanta eva. Come and surrender at the lotus feet of a devotee and then offer obeisances. Jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartaha. Surrendering to devotees, you should hear about the glories of Krishna. Same thing is mentioning. Vishvaksena katha suyaha. Hear Krishna katha from your devotees, Give up your jnana tendency. Third lane is thane sthitaha. You can be in a, whatever situation you are in, be there. If you are a Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra, or Brahmachari, Sannyasi, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, whatever may be your ashram status, whatever may be your this status, social status, Varna status, you can be there, no problem. Sthane sthitaha. But Shruti gatam manobhir, by using your Shruti, Mano, Vak, all this, perform devotional service to Krishna. Then one will be able to conquer Krishna. Right? Ye prayaso ajita jitopyasi traistrilokyam. Although the Lord is unconquerable in the three worlds, still he becomes conquerable to such a devotee who may be doing his activities as a part of Varna and Ashrama as a, as a duty for self-preservation. He may be doing. But this is Vishvakshena Katha Rati he has. He is hearing from devotees. He is surrendering to devotees. He is serving devotees. He is glorifying Krishna. As long as bhakti is there, one's position in Varna or Ashrama has some validity, has some utility. If bhakti is taken out, only by wonderfully performing your Kshatriya duties, meticulously performing your Vaishya duties, meticulously performing all your Brahmanical rituals, doesn't take us anywhere. This is according to Bhagavad. Dharma Svanushtitaha Pumsam. Without bhakti, All ones, three births, Vedic rituals, long life, yoga, sankhya, sannyasa, all these are useless labor only. So give up swadharma, take to parodharma. You may do your swadharma, no problem. Along with doing your swadharma, give primary importance to parodharma. If swadharma becomes primary and parodharma becomes secondary or tertiary or tenth or zero, then it is shramayavakya. Swadharma may be done. That's only an accompaniment, a support, a facility for taking shelter of parodharma nicely. Right? Swadharma is occupational duty. Parodharma is supreme occupational duty. Swadharma has a beginning and an end. The occupational duty in this life is restricted to this life only. In the next life, some other swadharma will come to you. In this life, you happen to be a Brahman or a Kshatriya. According to that, there is some swadharma. Next life, one may become something else. Swadharma changes. But parodharma is what? Across all lives, the dharma remains the same. Supreme occupation. In whichever life one may be in, whichever planet one may be in, whichever species one may be in, the soul is meant to be a servant of Krishna. So the soul's constitutional position is this bhakti. The body's constitutional position, the body's activity, human being's activities may change according to his varna and ashram in certain lifetime. If the life changes, something else will come. Some other thing will become his swadharma. Clear? Now, the need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the unlimited atmosphere, limited sphere of material bondage, and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in occupational engagements that will evoke our divine consciousness, that is possible only by hearing and chanting the divine activities of the Lord. And by occupational duty, which does not help one achieve attachment for hearing and chanting, is said to be simply waste of time. See, Prabhupada is saying, you do your occupational duty, no problem. But that should bring us to divine consciousness. That should facilitate our divine consciousness. That activity that distracts us from bhakti is not worth performing. Even the activities of the salvationists are considered to be useless because of their failure to pick up the fountainhead of all liberties. The gross materialist can partially, practically see that his material gain is limited only to time and space, either in this world or the other. Okay. The hankering of the soul must be satisfied by bhakti. Dharmasya hyapavargasyam nartho arthayopakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasyam kamo labhaya hisprutaha. Read the translation.
All occupied engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation.
Fine, read.
All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to Tejas, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service will never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification.
Dharmasya hi apavargasya. There are four things. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Chaturvirtha, purushartha, they say, right? So dharma should lead to, will generally lead to getting artha. Artha, a materialistic person utilizes to fulfill his kama. And when he is frustrated in kama, he will take to moksha. But it should not be in that line. Dharma has to be performed for moksha. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. Apavargasya. So apavarga means moksha. Na artho artha yopakalpate. It is not meant to get artha, money. Don't perform religion to get money. Don't perform some worship of some demigod so that he can give you some winnership in lottery ticket. Or bestow you some material prosperity. That is not the way of performing dharma. And if you happen to get artha, na artho arthayopakalpate narthasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya smritaha. That artha also you can utilize for self-preservation to some extent, but one should not utilize artha to fulfill his sense gratification. Kamo labhaya. It's not meant to give you kama, facilitate your sense gratification. Even in Vedic literatures, for all sorts of religious performances, an allurement of material gain is offered. And most people are attracted by such allurements or blessings of religiosity. Right? Allurements. Oh, you perform this, you get this. You do this, you get that. So this kind of phalashrutis are there. Materialistic phalashrutis are there in many scriptures. Allured by that, people will perform some religious practices. So that is discouraged here. However, if one happens to get material gain, that should be utilized for bhakti. How? 10th verse. Kamasya nindriya pritir labho jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jignasa nartho yascheha karma bhihi kamasya na indriya pritihi. Kama here is not lust. Kama is desire. So your desire should not be for sense gratification. Don't direct your life's desires for sense gratification. Kamasya na indriya pritihi. Labho jiveta yavata. But they can be utilized for jiveta, for self-preservation. You may desire to preserve yourself. You may need some clothing, you need some food, you need some other facilities, a nice shelter to stay. To that extent, you can utilize your money. So, but do what? What is primary thing? Keep that self-preservation as a mandatory, trivial duty that you need to perform. But don't make sense gratification and then exaggerated and extravagant facilities as your primary goal. And, but what you need to do? Jivasya tattva jignasa. Become very inquisitive about tattva, to know the truth, to know about the absolute truth, Krishna. So become inquisitive about spiritual subject matters. Do the needful for self-preservation, be inquisitive about spiritual subject matters. Tattva jignasa. Nartho yascheha karma bhihi. Nartho cha iha karma bhihi. By occupational activities. Okay. Desire a healthy life, self for self-preservation, and nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So sense gratification is required only for self-preservation. One may have to gratify one's senses to some extent. You need to eat something, palatable food. Right? If some very great renunciants, Goswamis may eat only dry chapati. Raghunath Das Goswami may take only few drops of buttermilk or some reject grains which are rejected by cows or horses, and then he can take that. So they are at that level, but you take three meals, whatever is whatever temple provides, you take hot meals as much as possible. By the time it comes from the kitchen to your Vidyapit room, it may become little cold. Okay, fine, that you just accept. So point here is not desire to live an extravagant life and with too much of luxurious facilities. But the basic facilities are fine. Right? If you are feeling cold, you can always wear sweater, no problem. So we are not like yogis of the days of yore where we do some meditation in the midst of fire in summer. You enter the chill waters of a river and then do some meditation there in the midst of winter. We are not meant for all that. Kali Yuga bodies cannot handle all that also. Right? One day without sweater you come there, next day you catch cold. Sometimes for our DT worship, we need to go up and down because our backup room is down and the DTs are up. So at least 10 times I had to go up and down in winter. So it became a little difficult for a colleague of body to handle, right? So you can wear sweater, you can wear some shawl like that, you can put like this and then go, alright, this is the traditional style. So all that you may do, but not extravagant, right? That's what is the essence of purport. The ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth. Jivasya tattva jignasa. Understand the tattva of the jiva. Understand Krishna tattva. Understand bhakti tattva. Understand shakti tattva. Rasa tattva. Leela tattva. Vaishnava tattva. Nama tattva. Oh, you are familiar with all these terms. He is making some video on it. Tattvamala. Today prints are coming. Right. Hopefully Nityananda Chaturvedi will launch Tattvamala. Bhagavata Tattvamala, our new book. You have Ratnamala in your hand, right? That is a sequential verses, vital verses, canto-wise. These are vital verses, theme-wise. So all Jiva Tattva-related verses, Bhakti Tattva-related verses. Okay. Pocket book, same. 11th. Vadanti. Now here he said Jivatsa Tattva Jignasa. What kind of Tattva? Jignasa means be inquisitive about tattva. What tattva you should be inquisitive about? That is mentioned in the 11th verse. Vadanti tat tattva vidaham. Tattvam jnana madvayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti. Bhagavaniti shabdayem. Shabdyate. So it is advaya. Vadanti tat tattva vidaha. Tattvam yajnanam advayam. This is advaya jnana. What tattva you should be inquisitive about? Advaya tattva. Advaya jnana. So, the supreme absolute truth is manifested in three phases. He is non-dual. One without a second. There is no replica of Krishna. He is non-dual. He is advaya. So, brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti. So he is manifested in three phases, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahman is his effulgence. Paramatma is his partial representation. So out of this, because I don't discuss this so much, because you know very well. Yesterday we were discussing about milk example, right? Milk, you approach milk with a sense of touch. You'll only feel it hot or cold. So if you approach it with the sense of your mouth, then you can get it. Similarly, if you approach the Supreme Lord through Bhakti Yoga, you will realize Him as Bhagavan. If you approach the same Lord through meditation, you will realize Him as Paramatma, partial. If you realize the Lord, if you approach the Lord through speculation, then you will realize Him as Brahman, effulgence. So less intelligent students of either of the above schools sometimes argue in favor of their own respective realization. But those who are perfect seers of the absolute truth know well that the above three features of the one absolute truth are different perspective views seen from different angles of vision. Different perspectives. That I was showing you. Right? There is a mobile. From one side, one perspective. Another side, another perspective. Now you are seeing this image is correct only. Now from this you do whatever you want, nothing happens. The utility of this mobile is not by touching anywhere in this side. The ultimate utility when you touch here, right? And you know how to touch also. Swiping this, swiping that, then you will be able to utilize. Similarly, absolute truth is same. But if you see his personality, you can serve him and he will reciprocate with you. If you are attached to his effulgence, a cover, very nice, cute cover. Means from behind you will only see the cover. But if you are attached to the cover, what will happen? You cannot get any utility. Similarly, you are attached, absolute truth is the same. You are attached to his effulgence. What you will do with effulgence? What is effulgence is like, you can't do any, there is no reciprocation. There is no activity in that effulgence. And you are attached to that effulgence. So, but effulgence belongs to the Lord only. But you are neglecting the Lord and you are attached to the effulgence. So all three are same. Whether you do Bhakti Yoga or Jnana Yoga or karma yoga, not karma, what is that, ashtanga, ashtanga, jnana and bhakti, we approach the same person. It is Krishna who is to be attained by all these three practices. But what feature of Krishna, to what extent you will attain Krishna differs. If you approach him through jnana, you will realize only his effulgence part. That is also Krishna only. But that is his impersonal aspect. And if you approach him through meditation, you will manage to realize him partially in your heart as Paramatma. That is also Krishna only. But it is not the full Krishna. Full Krishna is the personality of Godhead Bhagavan, who can reciprocate with your loving service, who can accept and then reciprocate. It said that train, mountain, the train is coming, and from a distance you will see only the smoke of the train or hear the horn of the train. If it comes little close, you may see some bogies are there, some engine is there. If it stands on the platform and if you enter the train, you will see all your berth and then the fans which are not moving or the toilets or co-passengers and other things. Next. In the relative world, the knower of the living spirit has superior energy, whereas the knower in the relative world, the knower is the living spirit, whereas the known is inert matter. However, there is no difference between the energy and energetic, but there is a difference of quality of energies. Lord has three types of energies. One is antaranga shakti, bahiranga shakti, tatastha shakti, marginal. So marginal. Although the living entity is the part and parcel of Krishna, he is still considered as one of his energies. Amsha. Mamaiva amsho jiva loke. But all the incarnations of Krishna, they are also amsha of Krishna, swamsha, but they are not considered energies. They are considered on the level of Purusha. We belong to Prakriti. We are amsha, but we are not Purusha. We are Prakriti only. That's how living entities are considered. So, there is no difference between the energy and energetic, because without energy, there is no meaning to the energetic. Is it not? And without the energetic person, there is no existence for the energy only. Is it not? Thus, energy and energetic exist together as one unit. Thus, they are one. At the same time, energy cannot be equal to the energetic, because energy is dependent on the energetic person. If he wants to manifest or display that energy, energy will come into action. Otherwise, energy can sleep. Right? Thus, energy is always subordinate to the energetic. At the same time, one with the energy also. Thus, they are one and they are different. Thus, the Jiva and the Lord are one and they are different also. Thus, the universe and the Lord are one and they are different also. Right? And their hierarchy is also eternal. Energetic is superior and energy is subordinate. Right? So thus there are some Bhedavakya in the scriptures. Bhedavakya means that which emphasize the difference between the Lord and his energies. Those statements that emphasize the difference between the Lord and his energies are called Bhedavakyas. Abhedavakyas means those statements that emphasize the non-difference between the Lord and his energies. They are same. Some statements say Lord and energies are same. Some say both are different. If we focus only on the Bhedavakyas, then that is Advaitavad, Dvaitavad. If we focus only on the Abhedavakyas, that becomes Advaita. But our philosophy is, we take both of them. This is also correct and that is also correct simultaneously. And anything that is ambiguous here, add the word achintya. Energy and energetic are one. And they are different also. Any problem? Add the word achintya. You can't conceive it. They are inconceivably one and different. That is our philosophy. Achintya bheda abheda tattva. Like that. We accept both of the statements in their true perspectives and true spirit. 12th verse. Tachraddhana munayo Jnana vairagya yuktaya Pashyantyatmani chatmanam
पश्यन्ति आत्मानि च आत्मानं
भक्त्या श्रुतगृहीतया
भक्त्या श्रुतगृहीतया
तश्रद्धधान मुनयो ज्ञानवैराग्ययुक्तया श्रद्धधान मीन्स् दोस् हु आर् वेरि इन्क्विजिटिव् सीरियस्लि इन्क्विजिटिव् सेजस् ज्ञानवैराग्ययुक्तया दे आर् वेल् इक्विप्ड् बै ज्ञान एण्ड् वैराग्य नालेड्ज् एण्ड् डिटाच्मेण्ट् पश्यन्ति च आत्मनि आत्मानं भक्त्या श्रुतगृहीतया दे आर् एबल् टु रियलैज् the absolute truth by bhakti, by devotional service. And where do you get that bhakti? Shruta grihitaya. That bhakti is acquired by shrutis, scriptures. Or shruta grihitaya can also mean bhakti that is acquired through shruti, ears, by hearing from a bona fide spiritual master. That's what bhaktiya shruta grihitaya mean. Clear? So, we discussed all this, karmis, jnanis, yogis and all. As Brahman and Paramatma realization are imperfect realizations of the Absolute Truth, so the means of realizing Brahman and Paramatma, the paths of Jnana and Yoga, are also imperfect means of realizing the Absolute Truth. Means is imperfect and the result is also imperfect. And Prabhupada also elaborates on Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama in this purport. We discussed it to some extent. So one has to hear from the right source. One cannot hear tattva from anyone and everyone. That is serpent. What is that verse? Avaishnava mukhodgirnam putam harikathamritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishta payoyatha. Avaishnava mukhodgirnam means that sound vibration or that scriptural explanation that is emanating from the mouth of an Avaishnava, non-devotee, is not worth hearing. Putam harikatha amritam, that may be harikatha amrita, but Avaishnava mukhodgirnam, if it is coming from the lips of a non-Vaishnava, that doesn't have any transformative effect. All these movie directors, they make spiritual movies, so-called spiritually commercial movies. Right? Mahabharat, Ramayan, they all make. So, yeah, to some extent, they may make people aware of the scriptures, but because they themselves do not have the sufficient character to represent the characters, scriptural characters, they can't make any positive impact. Generally, at the max, they may invoke some sentiments in some people to some extent, but they cannot transform the consciousness of people. The consciousness of the people will become devotional only when they learn about devotional service from a devotee. The same hero of the movie may play the role of some great devotee, Prahlad, Dhruva, or Tukaram, Sant. In the next movie, he is normal, back to his Bollywood style. Bollywood is Hindi, right? Hollywood is English. So back to his regular style. Then who will keep any faith on that kind of person? They have love for that person. When he is playing the role of some devotee, they will go and see, the love is for that celebrity. May not be for the devotee. So like that, things happen. So avaishnava mukhodgirana means you cannot accept philosophy from such substandard sources or non-devotees, avaishnavas, avaishnava mukhodgirnam. I will not elaborate so much on that. Next, 13th verse. अतः पुंभिर्द्विजश्रेष्ठ वर्णाश्रम विभागशः स्वनुष्ठितस्य धर्मस्य संसिद्धिर्हरितोषणम् So atah therefore, so O Dvijasrestha, O great sages, Varnashtama Vibhagasya Sunishthitasya Dharmasya. One can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to the caste divisions and orders only to please the Lord. Samsiddhira Hirtosham. You may have so many duties and you may have so many other things to do, but it's all meant for pleasing Krishna. Haritoshanam. You were asking, right, Rahul Prabhu, we can do some duties and then we need to offer it to Krishna. Yeah. Ultimately, all the duties prescribed are meant to satisfy Krishna. When the satisfaction of Krishna is kept aside and some other satisfaction, satisfying someone else is brought into the center, then Sramayavaihi Kevalam. Go to the 8th verse. 8th and 13th verses are friends. Right? What exactly a person in Varna and Ashrama, a certain Varna and Ashrama is supposed to do is mentioned here. Work for the satisfaction of Vishnu. You may do your duty, but work for Vishnu. Offer everything to Vishnu. Keep devotion to Vishnu primary. Keep all other things secondary, third, 1, 2, 3. Hey, Vyasika Prabhu says, Maam ekam sharanam vraja. What does it mean? Ekam, keep me number one. Keep your family, job, this and that, number two, number three, number four, number five, all that. But ekam sharanam, number one is me. Like that. So, yatha taror mola nishechanena trupyandi tatskhanda bhujopashakaha. If you water the root, then all the twigs can be nourished. Like that. The Varnashtrama institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. It's not properly practiced many times. So, some people may unnecessarily claim so much of credit because they belong to some higher caste. Oh, Sudra, you are meant to be my servant. Ramana, I am supposed to be knowledge, I am supposed to be your teacher. So, this kind of attitudes may creep in and the whole system itself will be questioned. Just because some people are not following a nice system nicely, that doesn't make the system useless. So, Prabhupada writes in one purport, Varnashtram may not be followed by people of this Kali Yuga properly. And people may have different opinions about it. But whether you agree or not, the society is by default divided into four classes. In any society, go to any country, they may not even know the term Varna, know the term Ashrama, but there are some intellectual class of people. There are some mercantile class of people. There are some working class of people. There are some administrative people. Because Krishna has created it, it will never cease to exist. It will continue to exist. However, that system may not be followed properly. It may be followed in a perverted manner because of the immaturity and ignorance of people in general, especially in Kali Yuga. But it will continue to exist because Krishna has created it. Prabhupada writes like that in one purport.
Tasmadekena manasah
Bhagavan Sattvatampati
Shrotavyah
Kirtitavyascha Dheyah Pujyascha
Nityadam.
Therefore, ekena manasah, with one-pointed attention, Bhagavan Sattvatampati, about Bhagavan Krishna, Shrotavyah, hear about him, Kirtitavyascha, glorify him, Dheyaha, meditate on him, Pujyasya, worship him, Nityata, always, not once in a while. So this is what you need to do. Ultimate conclusion is given here. The actual object of glorification is the Lord. So the tendency to appreciate someone, glorify someone, praise someone is always there in everybody. But the tendency has to be utilized and dovetailed to glorify Krishna. That will bring happiness.
యదనుధ్యాసినా యుక్తః కర్మగ్రంథి నిబంధనం ఛిందంతి కోవిదాస్తస్య కోన కుర్యాత్ కథారతిం. యద్ అనుధ్యాసినా యుక్తః, జస్ట్ బై రిమెంబరింగ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్, కర్మగ్రంథి నిబంధనం, ది నాట్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రూట్ వర్క్ ఈస్ కట్. చిందంతి కోవిదాస్తస్య, కోవిద మీన్స్ గ్రేట్ ఎక్స్పర్ట్ పీపుల్ విల్ కట్ ద నాట్ ఆఫ్ కర్మబంధ బై మెడిటేటింగ్ ఆన్ ద లార్డ్, బై రిమెంబరింగ్ ద లార్డ్. హౌ విల్ యూ బీ ఏబుల్ టు రిమెంబర్ ద లార్డ్ ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ హియర్ అబౌట్ ద లార్డ్? కో న కుర్యాత్ కథారతిం, ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ రతి ఫర్ హిస్ కథా, ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ టేస్ట్ ఫర్ హిస్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ అండ్ హీరింగ్ అబౌట్ హిమ్, హౌ విల్ యూ రిమెంబర్ హిమ్? ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ రిమెంబర్ హిమ్, హౌ విల్ యూ కట్ యువర్ ఫ్రూట్? యు నాట్. That's the meaning of this verse. The contact of the spiritual spark with material elements creates a knot which must be cut if one wants to be liberated from the actions and reactions of fruity work. Constant association with the spiritual activities gradually spiritualizes the conditioned soul and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage. So regularly by hearing about Krishna, chanting his holy names, worshipping his deities, serving his devotees, our materialistic existence will be purified and it will be spiritualized. Okay, they're coming here. We'll take a break. స్వామి మహారాజ్ కి ది ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్. శుశ్రూషో శ్రద్ధ ధ్యానస్య వాసుదేవ కథా రుచి శ్యాన్ మహత్ సేవయా విప్రః పుణ్యతీర్థ నిషేవనాత్. శుశ్రూషో శ్రద్ధధానస్య వాసుదేవ కథా రుచి స్యాన్ మహత్ సేవయా విప్ర. సో స్యాన్ మహత్ సేవయా విప్ర మీన్స్ ఇట్స్ దాట్ విచ్ ఇస్ మేడ్ పాసిబుల్ బై సర్వీస్ టు గ్రేట్ డివోటస్. రైట్, సో ద ఫస్ట్ స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ ఈజ్ సతాం కృప, మీన్స్ ది mercy of devotees. Then mahat seva, service to devotees. So first you begin by getting some mercy of devotees. For example, a devotee will come out of the street and give you some book distribution, and by seeing that book you may develop little interest to offer some service. Okay, take this 100 rupees donation. Little service, then your faith may be developed and then you may think that okay, let me come to their temple, let's see. You will have some little faith that makes you come all the way to temple and then see what's happening there. Shraddha. Then once you come there, you take shelter of people who are devotees of the Lord and begins with taking shelter of a guru. Guru means siksha guru or diksha guru, whatever. Just taking guidance from someone who can direct you in the process. So it all begins with syan mahat sevaya vipraha, satam kripa mahat seva. There are 9 stages of devotional service: shraddha to sadhu sangha, shraddha sadhu sangha, bhajan kriya up to prema. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur brings out 14 stages in devotional service. So this Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra is corresponding to the first 2 stages, Satam Kripa and Mahat Seva. Then Shushrusho Shraddha Dhanasya, you hear them with great faith and attention. Okay, that is Shraddha. Then serving them who are freed from all vice, Punya Tirtha Nishevanath, that is Gurupada Ashraya. taking shelter at the lotus feet of Guru. So that is, you can see Subodhini, that chart, everything is ready made there. Next is, in this purport, Prabhupada writes, the conditioned life of a living being is the cause of revolting against the Lord. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries, according to the Supreme Will. So there are some points. And Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipraha. It all begins with serving the devotees, connecting with the devotees. So serving a devotee is considered more glorious than directly serving the Lord. So that point Prabhupada mentions. Next. So in the first verse, you get four stages. And fifth stage also is there. First is Satam Kripa, some mercy of devotees. Mahat Seva. Mahat Seva is to get an opportunity to serve some devotees. Shraddha, faith developed by that service. Guru Pada Ashraya, seeking shelter at the lotus feet of a guru. And Vasudeva Katharuchihi, your taste for hearing about Krishna will increase. That begins your bhajana kriya, eagerness to worship. Srinvatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantastohya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrutsatam. Srinvatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. That is, such a hearer develops the virtue to hear and chant. That is bhajana kriya, to be able to hear. Bhajana kriya. Then hridyantastohi abhadrani vidhunoti. Once you start hearing, the abhadras means unwanted things, inauspicious things in the heart, vidhunoti, they are cleansed away. So this is technically anartha nivritti. It is beginning here only. By regularly hearing, by doing your bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti will start. So hridyantastohi abhadrani vidhunoti. And who will clean that heart? Suhrut satam. Satam is devotees. Suhrut Sata means one who is well-wisher of devotees. Who is that? Lord. So Lord only will clean the heart. If you hear about Him, that vibration about Krishna will enter your ear holes and Lord will enter your heart and then clean there. Pravishtaha karnarandhayana svana bhavasaroruham dhunati samalam Krishna bhalilesya yathasaru. In this purport, Prabhupada writes, the Lord is more anxious to take us back home, back to Godhead, than we are actually. Most of us do not desire to go back home to Godhead at all. Most of us, Prabhupada says. Only a few men want to go back to Godhead, but anyone who desires to go back, Krishna will help them. Like that. So in this verse, Bhajanesha Spruha is continued. And according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he just writes that Abhadrani is anarthas, but he doesn't begin the anartha nivritti explanation from there only. 18th verse it comes. That is, Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nashta means losing. What you will lose? Abhadreshu. That which is unwanted and inauspicious for your spiritual path, you will lose. Such kind of loss is good, right? Such loss is desirable loss. So Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. How will that happen? By regularly doing seva of Bhagavatas, devotees. And by regularly serving book Bhagavatam also. Book Bhagavatam and person Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati means Bhaktir Bhavati means Bhakti will happen, Bhakti will start like that. So that stage is the sixth stage, Bhakti stage. Chakravarti Pada doesn't elaborate so much on this stage. He just gives a name, Bhakti there. So I don't have any reference or explanation that is giving. I just mentioned there, Bhakti, according to Krishna Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So regular hearing of the book Bhagavata and serving the devotee Bhagavata destroys all inauspiciousness. That is anarthapagamam. Nashta prayeshu abhadra. Prayeshu is the word used. Prayeshu means almost. Your anarthas are almost vanquished, not completely vanquished. Why? These anarthas continue to exist in the later stages also, nishta, ruchi, asakti, but very minutely, very slightly. So how this progress is there? It's not that you are done with the shraddha stage, then you go to bhajana kriya, your sadhu sangha. It's not that you are done with sadhu sangha, 100% sadhu sangha done, then I will start my bhajana kriya. 100% bhajana kriya done, then I will start my anartha nivritti. Not like that. You begin with little shraddha, you go to the next stage, sadhu sangha. When you go to the sadhu sangha stage, your shraddha will increase. Initially it was small shraddha. When you go to the next stage, your previous stage will broaden. Then you go to bhajana kriya, your sadhu sangha also will become big, shraddha will become even more big. Then you go to anartha nivritti stage. Then the previous three stages will become broadened. So like that, it's like a growing pyramid. You see, pyramid? It's like, initially it's small, then big, like this. So the person who is on the prema stage, he has the biggest shraddha. That his shraddha is so wide. For someone who is in anartha nivritti stage, he has shraddha, but it's little lesser, much lesser compared to someone at bhava stage or prema stage. Right? So like that. So that's why it is mentioned here that nashta prayeshu, almost nil, not completely nil. Anarthas continue to exist in the later stages also, but very less. Then bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Your bhakti will become naishtiki, steady. So initially our devotional service is not very steady. Sometimes we may hear Bhagavatam, sometimes we may not feel like hearing Bhagavatam. Sometimes we will study Bhagavatam, we may not feel so inspired to study. Sometimes we will attend Mangalati, sometimes we will get gold. Right? So the steadiness is not there, but once anarthas are gone, steadiness will come. When anarthas are almost gone, then steadiness will start coming. Right? That is bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Right? So in this purport, Prabhupada makes some really revolutionary points. It's not just steady that makes you steady. Right? Steady means studying Bhagavatam will definitely make you steady in bhakti. But it's not sufficient. Along with study, you should also have seva. You should be able to render service to devotees. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Studying Bhagavatam and trying to understand Bhagavatam is definitely seva. But serving devotees is also seva. That is equally important seva. It's not that one sits with books all the time. One serves Mahatmas also, who have assimilated the essence of that book, Bhagavatam. Book Bhagavatam. So, pleasing the devotee Bhagavata, one can receive the benefit of book Bhagavata. Why am I serving this person? He tells me the so-and-so service, it bothers me so much. It's difficult service, or if it is austere service, or it's boring service, it's not very attractive service, it's background service. So many reasons the mind may give, but that menial service of a devotee has tremendous potential to uplift our spiritual consciousness by inducing humility in our hearts. We need to have that grateful attitude, grateful feeling to
get an opportunity to render some menial service. In our BT days, 2008-2009, we were asked to clean Temple Hall, Radha Gopinath Temple Hall. It is already clean. So we were asked, you clean. What kind of jhadu pocha bhi nahi? They give one small cloth, like a kerchief, and all the wooden carvings are there. He removed the dust particles between the carvings, right? And hardly any dust particle is there. You have to put the cloth inside the carving. And 2.5 hours. Karte raho. So, hundi. Clean the hundi. They clean like this. Hardly anything is there. 2.5 hours you spend there and hardly any dust comes out. It's not a construction site like GEV. Right, so much of now temple hall cleaning, if someone puts na Prabhupada altar cleaning, you tomorrow if I put you, you will get so much dust there, because Madan Mohan temple carving is going on, all the dust will come here. So there it's not like that. Chaupati is already very clean. But to engage us, they used to give us this seva, which is very important. So one of our devotees asked our in charge, Prabhu, temple hall is already clean, why are you wasting our time? He didn't put it that way. He said, it seems like I'm not using my time effectively, because I could have studied Bhagavad Gita for 2.5 hours. Because we are all young people and intellectual backgrounds, we can do a lot. Our 2.5 hours time is very valuable. We can do so much. Job chhod gaya, 1 lakh rupees. Ready to put. They start cleaning the temple, they are putting there. Our incharge gave a brilliant answer. You may think that the temple hall is already clean and you can do much better things and you can accomplish more by using that time in some other way than this. But you will develop humility by engaging in this service. A greater accomplishment than reading 10 verses of Bhagavatam, than writing an article, than just working on some project, is to develop the quality of humility, to develop the quality of gratitude. How fortunate am I to clean the temple of Krishna? To get that service, if you should feel grateful. Should feel extremely grateful for getting that opportunity to clean the temple of Krishna. And you should feel humble. Although I can do many better things, this person, currently he is acting as my authority. Although my mind is screaming like hell, I will keep my mouth shut and surrender to him. Exhibit some submissiveness in front of him. And cultivate that submissiveness, cultivate that surrender, and agree to his words, keeping aside my personal opinion, and clean this place. That feeling will nourish your soul. You will develop humility. Right? You take a humble position. You may have greater thought, but no problem. What he says, I am supposed to do the next 2.5 hours. Not in a grudging manner, not in a politically correct manner, not like an obligatory manner. Not in that way also. Genuinely you feel grateful, and also you feel that it's actually an opportunity for me to cultivate some humility when I'm not convinced of doing something, but when I'm asked to do this. Humility is, one aspect of humility is to give value to the current need of the hour, or to give value to someone else's opinion more than I value mine. You may have your own thoughts and plans of using your time more effectively. But if you are keeping that plan aside and surrendering to someone else's plan, that's brilliant. That's humility. Humility is needed. So see that as an opportunity. I don't know how much that devotee is convinced, but I am impressed. I mean, he didn't give so much of explanation like this. He gave it. That's an opportunity for you to cultivate humility. You can be humble. Although we can do better things, we are doing what we are asked to do. So I reflected on it. It's very inspiring. 10 years back, what we heard. So, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So, Bhagavata Sevaya is not just studying Bhagavatam. Bhagavata Sevaya is serving Bhagavatas, devotees who have assimilated the essence of Bhagavatam or who are trying to assimilate the essence of Bhagavatam. So, human reason fails to understand. Now you may say, "Arey, how is this? Oh, cleaning karne ke liye bolte hain cleaning. Itna sentimental nahi hu main. I want a logical reason. How can I make tremendous amount of spiritual advancement by surrendering to somebody, by agreeing and doing what he wants me to do, then keeping aside my better plan?" Prabhupada says, human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavata or the book Bhagavata, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. This is a book and there is a person. And that person is not as intelligent as than me. Now, you may think, because you are coming from a corporate background, academic background, you may think, I can get 10 cleaners to clean this temple. I can do something else. I have earned a lot of money. Last one, my monthly package is 12 lakhs per annum. Right? If I just give 12 lakhs, for the next 3 years, I can appoint a person who can clean this temple hall. Why should I clean for even 3 hours? You may think all this. No, you have to personally clean the temple hall. Although you are such a high-paid intellectual coming from IIT, IISc, or PhD, some university or whatever. That's where. Jnane prayasa udapasya namanta eva. Jeevanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartaha. Keep aside your speculative endeavors. Aside. Surrender unto the words of a devotee. A devotee is telling me to do this. He is instructing me. This is what, this is good, that is bad. I will listen to him. I will keep aside my thoughts. He told, Brahmaji came and told Prithu Maharaj, don't do 100 sacrifice. Enough, 99 sufficient. 99 is sufficient. If you are doing your 9th sacrifice and someone tells you don't do 100 sacrifices, you may be willing to hear him. 99 done, 100th is going on. He says, come, stop. 2-digit number sufficient. 3-digit number honne ke zarurat nahi. It requires a lot of humility. But Prithu Maharaj said, you want like this? Fine, I'll stop. That pleased Krishna. Narayana came from the spiritual world. So 100 sacrifice of sacrificing his ambition to perform sacrifice is more pleasing to Vishnu than the actual sacrifice itself. So sacrificing one's personal opinion, personal ambition, and giving more importance to another devotee's opinion and instruction is great. Right? That is more important than accomplishing things. Right? You may all feel, why should I clean this Vrindavan Forest temple hall? You can apply anyone. Why should I make this video? You can appoint anyone professional. Throw 1,000 rupees, he'll make video, done. Why I should type this document? So many typists are there. Why I should clean the backup room? You can appoint. How many? I'll give. I'll sponsor. Right? 1 month salary of this fellow, I'll sponsor. I have earned a lot of money. So, yeah, that's good. Wonderful. But brahmachari means, especially devotee fine, especially brahmachari means you have to personally engage in humble, menial service as per the instruction of some superior devotee, some senior person. Then only you will cultivate humility. It's not bossgiri. It is inculcating Vaishnava qualities. What is your vision? First day I told you. Inculcating Vaishnava qualities, mood of selfless service. Selfless also means keeping aside your selfish opinions. Opinions of yourself. Your own conceptions of what is good and what is bad. And giving more importance to Guru's opinion.
Prabhupada makes some more revolutionary statements here. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily. Knowledge means I should get from books. But association of Bhagavatas, service to Bhagavatas, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, where will I get knowledge? Vartan kisne se knowledge jata hai ka? Someone may say like this, no, you will get knowledge by washing pots in the backup room. You will absorb whatever knowledge you already have by washing pots. And that will facilitate your acquiring more knowledge. Simply acquiring knowledge may make one proud, but that knowledge accompanied by menial service attitude will make you assimilate that knowledge, because that humble menial seva will invoke Krishna's mercy. Endeavor to acquire knowledge may not necessarily invoke Krishna's mercy. Prataprudra Maharaj did how much service, my God. Since Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered Jagannath Puri, Prataprudra Maharaj was longing to have his darshan, take his mercy. But Lord Chaitanya says, he Vishayi, king, materialistic person. A sadhu meeting such a person is like drinking poison. And he quotes so many verses left, right, center. Ramananda Rai is recommending him. Sarvam Bhattacharya is recommending him. Nityananda Prabhu is recommending him. So many devotees are recommending him, but Lord Chaitanya, what do you think? I can admit. If you ask me like this, I will go to Alalnath. So like that, Mahaprabhu threatens them. He is not giving mercy only. And in the background, Prataprudra Maharaj was doing so many things. Whenever some 200-300 devotees are coming from Bengal, Prataprudra Maharaj arranges accommodation for them, prasadam for them, spontaneously. 200-300 rooms booking. Room booking, ask our guest department how difficult it is. Right? So, Prataprudra Maharaj arranges all that. So many big services he has done. But what pleased Lord Chaitanya? Anyone knows the story? Jhadu. Jhadu Pucha. So when he is brooming before Lord Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya was impressed. Uttama Rajakare Tuchha Sevan. All the services that Prataprudra Maharaj has done earlier are the services that he has offered from his position as a king. As a king, he can order, book 2000 rooms. Rooms are booked, done. Arrange prasadam for 2000 people. Arranged. But he could have told, clean this pathway. 100 servants will come and clean the pathway, no? He didn't use his king position. He kept all of that. He kept aside all of that. He took the broom himself and then he started doing jhadu pocha. Jhadu pocha nahi. Then that attracted Lord Chaitanya. You see, he did something way below his social position. Then he got mercy. He did so many influential things from his high position as a king. Mahaprabhu was not impressed so much. You are understanding? So you may be a highly intellectual person, but when you render service menially under the instruction of a devotee, especially surrender yourself, humble yourself, you will get more mercy. Then, after that only, after Ratyatra, during middle of Ratyatra only, he got mercy. In the beginning of Ratyatra, he did jhadu. He broomed. Then Ratyatra went up to that Jagannath Vallabh Garden or some place, halted, and some bhoga offering was going on. Mahaprabhu went inside the garden to rest. So Prataprudra Maharaj went there, sang Gopi Gita. Tava kathamrutam tapta jivanam kavi bhiriritam kalmashabham yudrini. Then Lord Chaitanya, and he gave up his king clothes also. He dressed himself like an ordinary man. Mahaprabhu came and embraced him. He gave him mercy. Menial service attracted him more. This is one example. There are so many such instances. So one needs to come out of his high, so-called elevated position and become a humble, menial servant of a devotee, Bhagavata, for him to progress in devotional service. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Then your bhakti will become steady. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Why there is no nishta, why there is no steadiness in bhakti? Because we are holding on to our positions. When we do Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, study Bhagavatam and serve Bhagavata, step down from our so-called elevated, materially puffed up position, then bhakti will come. Bhakti will become steady. Make sense? It should. This is Bhagavatam's message. Proposes further. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. See the statement simple. The more progress is made under the guidance of Bhagavatas, no one can say that I don't need the guidance of a Bhagavata. I can manage on my own. I read Bhagavatam. I'll manage my spiritual life. I don't need anybody's guidance. No? Without guidance, no one can progress. Vyasadeva needed guidance after writing 18 Puranas and 108 Upanishads and 4 Vedas and Mahabharata and having so many disciples, arranging so many people to divide them into sections, subsections and elaborate on them. After that, he became despondent and he is unable to figure out what happened to me. Narada Muni came and diagnosed him. This is your problem. Do this. He needed guidance. If Vyasadeva needed guidance, you don't need guidance? You need. So, if we make progress in bhakti with guidance of Bhagavatas, then our bhakti will become fixed. Fixed means nishta. We'll come to nishta. We'll struggle with anarthas and then lower stages only atak jayega. Years will pass, decades will pass. Maybe lifetimes also may pass. To seek guidance, we need humility. From an arrogant position, we cannot seek guidance. Okay, next.
Tada rajastamo bhavaham kama lobhadayascheyam cheta etairana viddham sthitam sattve prasidati tada rajastamo bhava kama lobhadayascheyam.
So once your bhakti becomes steady, what will happen? The effects of lower modes will diminish. Raja, tama. What are the effects of raja and tama? Kama and labha, lobha, lust and greed. Because of passion and ignorance, we are becoming lusty and greedy. So those effects will go down. Okay. So why they are going down? You developed a higher taste. Lower taste is going down. Kama and lobha is going down. Higher taste for hearing Krishna Katha, that's going up. So, the heart is no longer pierced by sense objects due to lack of taste for material objects. Spiritual taste arises. That's the stage of ruchi. Okay. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobhadayasya is the taste of ruchi. Next. Cheta etair anavidham sthitam sattve prasidati. If the lower modes are diminishing, higher mode will manifest. Sthitam sattve prasidati. Okay. The mind is unaffected due to being established in goodness and one becomes completely happy. So that is called firm attachment, asakti. After ruchi, you get asakti. Ruchi is having some taste, asakti is making a little more attraction, attachment. Right? So that is the next stage. So purport is also nice. But one statement only I will read. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. It's not inactivity. Devotional service means doing nothing. Not that way. It is that activity which is done with no material contamination. A devotee is always qualified with good qualities, all good qualities. Quantitatively, those qualities may be different from Krishna's qualities, but qualitatively both are same. We discussed yesterday, 64 qualities. The top 50 are common to the Lord and the living entities, but in the Lord, they are present in full. In the living entity, they are present in very minute quantities. Right? ఫస్ట్ 50 క్వాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. 20. ఏవం ప్రసన్న మనసో భగవద్భక్తి యోగతః భగవత్తత్వ విజ్ఞానం ముక్తసంగస్య జాయతే. ఏవం ప్రసన్న మనసో, ప్రసన్న మనసు మీన్స్ మైండ్ బికమ్స్ వెరీ ఎన్లైవెన్డ్ ప్లెజెంట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ రతి, డెవలపింగ్ రతి, ఫాండ్నెస్. భగవద్భక్తి యోగతః, బై ఎంగేజింగ్ ఇన్ అర్ కాంటాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్, దిస్ ఇస్ ద స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ ప్రేమ. భగవద్భక్తి యోగతః ఈజ్ ఇండికేటింగ్ ప్రేమ, డివోషనల్ లవ్. సో దీస్ ఆర్ ద నెక్స్ట్ టూ స్టేజెస్. అండ్ భగవత్తత్వ విజ్ఞానం ముక్త సంగస్య జాయతి. భగవత్తత్వ విజ్ఞానం, వన్ విల్ బికమ్ వెల్ వెర్స్డ్ విత్ ది నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ది సుప్రీం పర్సన్, right? So this has two parts. One is darshanam, vision of the Lord, and you means you will be able to see the Lord. That is the beyond stage. Once you attain prema, then you will be able to see the Lord. Without prema, no one can see the Lord. And beyond that, seeing the Lord, 13th stage also, there is 14th stage, that is harer madhurya anubhava. You experience his sweetness. Everybody may see, but you actually relish and experience and go through that seeing in a more effective manner, right? That is harer madhurya anubhava, direct experience of Hari's sweetness. So these are the 14 stages of bhakti: satam kripa, mahat seva, then third is shraddha, fourth is gurupadashraya or sadhu sangha, you can say, fifth is భజనేషు స్పృహ, నెక్స్ట్ ఈస్ భక్తి, సెవెంత్ అనర్థాపగమం అర అనర్థ నివృత్తి, ఎయిత్ నిష్ఠ, నైన్త్ టెన్త్ ఆసక్తి, దెన్ రతి, దెన్ ప్రేమ. రతి ఆర్ భావ బోత్ ఆర్ సేమ్. నెక్స్ట్ ఈస్ ప్రేమ, నెక్స్ట్ ఈస్ 13th స్టేజ్ దర్శనం, నెక్స్ట్ మాధుర్య అనుభవ. So these are the 14 stages of devotional service. And you can take the regular traditional names also. First 9, you know, you're familiar with them. These are the 9 stages of bhakti. Okay. 21. Bhidyate hridaya granthihim. Chidyante sarva samshayah. క్షీయంతే చాస్య కర్మాణి దృష్ట ఏవాత్మనీశ్వరే. భిద్యతే హృదయ గ్రంథిః, ద నాట్ ఆఫ్ ది హార్ట్ ఇస్ పియర్స్డ్. ఛిద్యంతే సర్వ సంశయాః, ఆల్ ది మిస్గివింగ్స్ అండ్ డౌట్స్ ఆర్ కట్ ఇన్ టు పీసెస్, స్మాష్డ్. దెన్ క్షీయంతే చాస్య కర్మాణి దృష్ట ఏవాత్మనీశ్వరే, దట్ మీన్స్ ద చైన్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ కర్మ ఇస్ టెర్మినేటెడ్. Then one will be able to see the self as master. So far he has been seeing the material elements, this body as master. He is following the dictates of this body, mind, etc. Then he starts seeing the self superior to this body, and the self has to be engaged in Krishna's service. Okay. That is false ego. Yeah, soul as superior to matter. Because drishta eva atmani, here that atmani is a small self, means the person, the soul that's mentioned. Ishwari means dominating. But attaining scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead means seeing one's own self simultaneously. So how will you be able to understand yourself? By understanding the Lord, understanding Krishna. If you understand Krishna, you need to understand Krishna's energies also. And one of the energies of Krishna is Tatastha Shakti, the soul. So we understand about ourselves also. Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishna Ra Nityadas. First understand who is Krishna. So simultaneously you also understand you are his servant also. That way. So as soon as Krishna sun arises within the heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living beings is at once cleared off. Perfect knowledge is the parampara, a deductive knowledge. Okay. The knot is ahankara. That is bhijyate hriday granthi. That hriday granthi is actually ahankara, false ego. Second. Ato vaikavayo nityam.
Ato vaikavayo nityam.
Bhaktim paramayamudam.
Bhaktim paramayamudam.
Vasudeve bhagavati.
Vasudeve bhagavati.
Kurvantyatma prasadhanim.
Kurvantyatma prasadhanim.
Read.
Certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. With great delight, because such devotional service is enlightening to the self.
Ato vai kavayo nityam. Great kavis. Means great learned people, transcendentalists. They have been rendering bhakti with great happiness. Bhaktim paramaya muda. Great happiness. Unto whom? Vasudeva Bhagavati. And this whole bhakti process that is described here is supposed to be performed towards Krishna, not towards anyone else. A bhakti process is described, stages are described, but that bhakti is directed towards whom? Vasudeva. And that will be more emphatically mentioned in the 28th and 29th verses. So a conclusion is made at the point of 22nd verse. Kurvanti atma prasadhanim. One's self is completely satisfied. Yayatma suprasidati. If one performs bhakti towards Vasudeva. Okay, next. 23rd verse. So only Krishna is to be worshipped. That will be mentioned in the next section. 23rd to 29th. We'll go till 1:15. Fine, eh? We start around 10:25, something like that. We'll complete 29 verses and then take break. So far, glories of bhakti are mentioned. Now, glories of Bhagavan, unto whom that bhakti is supposed to be performed, will be mentioned. First 23rd verse. Sattvam rajastama iti prakritir gunastair.
Sattvam rajastama iti prakritir gunastair.
Yuktaha parah purusha eka ihasya dhatte.
Yuktaha parah purusha eka ihasya dhatte.
Sthityadaye hari virinchi hare disamnyaha.
Sthityadaye hari virinchi hare disamnyaha.
Shreyamsi tatra khalu sattvatanordunam siho.
Shreyamsi tatra khalu sattvatanordunam.
Read the translation.
The transcendental personality of Godhead is intimately associated with the three modes of materialism, namely passion, goodness, and ignorance. And just for the material world's creation, maintenance, and destruction, he accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefits from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness.
So there are three avatars, guna avatars, who are in charges of goodness, passion and ignorance, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, and they are in charges of creation, maintenance and destruction. But amongst these three, although they are all categorized as guna avatars, not all of them are on the same platform. There is gradation also. Highest is who? Vishnu. You can get topmost benefit only from Vishnu. What is the topmost benefit? Getting out of this material existence. Liberation. Brahma and Shiva will not give liberation. But Vishnu can give liberation. Other demigods cannot give liberation. The roles of these gunavataras are described in the purport. You know what are they. Kshirodakasai Vishnu. Hari virinchi hareti samnyaha. Kshirodakasai Vishnu is gunavatar. And he is purushavatar also. And it is amongst the gunavataras also. It is common. Common avatar. Anyone therefore who wishes to get out of the prison house of material existence which is full of miseries must please Vishnu. Vishnu is worshipped by bhakti only, and if anyone has to continue prison life in this material world, he may ask for relative facilities for temporary relief from demigods like Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Ganesh ji, etc. Shani. So no demigod can release one from material bondage. They are also in this material world. They can give you some facilities within this prison. If you please, prison house in charge, bribe him, something like that. He may shift you from this more austere room from more austere room to a better room. That's all he can do. But he cannot release you from jail. Only the jailer can release.
Parthivadaruno dhumaham tasmad agnis tayitrayimayaham tamasturajastasmad tamas sattvam yadbrahma darshanam
sattvam yadbrahma darshanam.
So passion is better than ignorance, goodness is better than passion, that you know. So a comparison is given. What is the comparison? Firewood is compared to ignorance. Smoke is compared to passion. Fire is compared to goodness. So it's 1 o'clock. So firewood is in ignorance, is compared to ignorance because it's not active. Wood means the pada raiga. But smoke is better than fire, and fire is better than smoke. Now smoke is better than firewood, and fire is better than smoke. So in what sense smoke is considered better than firewood? Because smoke has an active principle of movement, and firewood doesn't have. Wood means it's just in the corner. But smoke means it can just move. In that sense, it's compared superior. You just take only that feature of smoke. But smoke means it will only disturbing to the mosquitoes also. That's good. That's not mentioned here. So because it has an active principle, it's considered superior. So in that sense, Shiva is lowest, Brahma is superior to Shiva, and Vishnu is superior to Brahma. However, in this comparison, Acharyas give a very nice perspective. From fire you can generate, from firewood you can generate fire. Smoke, although it has an active principle, you cannot generate fire from it. So, in that sense, fire is better than smoke, is it not? Firewood is better than smoke, correct? So, this perspective is utilized to prove that Shiva is better than Brahma. Goodness, so you see, ignorance, passion, goodness, three things. Ignorance compared to wood, passion compared to smoke, and fire compared to goodness. Goodness compared to fire. Then Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Brahma is into passion, Vishnu is in goodness, and Shiva is in ignorance. So now if you take that gradation, smoke is better than wood and fire is better than smoke, then Brahma, then goodness is better than passion and passion is better than ignorance, right? However, that would mean Brahma is better than Shiva, because Shiva is in charge of goodness, Brahma is in charge of passion, Shiva is in charge of ignorance and Brahma is in charge of passion, right? But you take this perspective of fire, wood and smoke analogy. Wood is better than fire in the sense that you can generate fire from wood, not from smoke. So then reverse the comparisons. Shiva is better than Brahmaji.
Right? Shiva is a better devotee. Is clear? Vishnu Chakurthi Thakur. Analogy is a part of the verse, but this perspective is given by Vishnu Chakurthi Thakur. So, although these three people, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, are Gunavataras, they are not equal. There is a gradation amongst them. There is a qualitative difference between the different kinds of worshipping methods as well as respective results derived from the predominating deities Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. 25th verse. Bhejire muna yothagre bhagavantam adhokshajam sattvam vishuddham kshemaya kalpante yenu taniha. So Bhejire muna yothagre, read the translation.
Previously, all the great sages rendered service unto the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worshipped him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world.
So, Bhejire Munayothagri, understanding this qualitative difference between Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, many devotees worship Vishnu more than Shiva and Brahma. Because one who desires liberation can only get it from Vishnu and not from others. Okay, and whoever follows them also can become eligible for liberation. Whoever follows these great sages. So the purpose of performing religion is neither to profit by material gain nor to get the simple knowledge of descending matter from spirit. Okay, 26th verse. So Mahajans are the authorized agents who can understand the Lord, and if you follow Mahajans, you will also understand that way. 26. Mumukshavo ghora rupan hitva bhutapatin atham narayana kala shanta bhajanti hiyana suyavah. So here it's mentioned, so far Vishnu is superior, that is established, clear in the last three verses. Vishnu is superior because he can give liberation, others cannot. And examples are also given, fire and other things. Now, considering this, devotees reject the demigod forms and accept Vishnu forms and worship Vishnu. Okay. So, mumukshavo ghora rupan. Mumukshava means one who desires liberation. Ghora rupan hitva. They give up the forms, fierce forms of demigods. Like bhutapati natha. Like the ghastly forms of Kala Bhairav, Mahakali. So this kind of very fierce and ferocious and ghastly forms of demigods, they reject. They reject them and worship only the Vishnu forms. However, in their rejection, there is no disrespect. Narayana Kala Shantaha Bhajanti Hi Anasuyavaha. They reject these forms and worship the blissful forms of Narayana and his plenary portions, but they do not disrespect these demigods, they do not envy these demigods. Anasuyavaha, that means non-envious. You may reject, but you may not criticize them. You may not disregard them. You may not disrespect them. You are not considering them the supreme lords, which is correct. They are not supreme lords. Supreme lord is Krishna. However, you can definitely respect them for what they are. They are the in charges of different affairs of this universal administrative system. It's like in a national government, you have Prime Minister, Home Minister, Chief Minister, Education Minister, Military Minister, so many people are there, right? Similarly, this universe also has certain ministers. There's Earth Minister, Water Minister, Air Minister. So there is a prison house in charge, that is Yamaraj. So like that. Durga. So they understand this and they don't disregard or they don't
disrespect the demigods. At the same time, they don't worship them as supreme lords, which is fairly reasonable. Highly qualified Brahmanas situated in mode of goodness have no grudges against the mode of worship of others. So they are not like fanatics or anything like that. Only the Lord can bestow liberation. Fine. 27th verse. Rajastamaha prakritayaha samashila bhajanti vai pitrubhuta prajeshatin shriyaishwarya prajepsavaha. Rajastamaha prakritayaha. Read. Read the translation.
Those who are in the mode of passion and ignorance worship the forefathers, other living beings and the demigods, who are in charge of cosmic activities, for they are urged by a desire to be materially benefited with woman, wealth, power and progeny.
So all the devotees and people who desire liberation may worship only Vishnu forms and keep aside demigod forms. But those who are desiring material benefits, those who are in modes of passion and ignorance, they worship the demigods. Okay, who worships them, who do not worship them, all that is clearly explained. So one should work hard and worship the Supreme Lord by the fruits of one's hard labor for existence. And that should be the motto of life. Material enjoyment should be accepted only up to the point of bare necessities of life and not more or less than that. To accept more enjoyment means to bind oneself more and more to the miseries of material existence. So worshipping the multi-demigods for material gain is practically a perversity of religion. Fine. So far what we have learned? The answers to first two questions, that is bhakti, and how Varnashrama dharma is not a paro dharma, and by performing all occupational duties, you need to worship Vishnu only, please Vishnu only. So that is 8 to 15. Then the process of bhakti yoga, different stages of bhakti. Then we also discussed that bhakti has to be performed only for Vishnu. Vishnu is superior and demigods cannot give liberation. That much we have understood. So all that bhakti has to be directed towards Vasudeva, Vishnu. So that will be established in the last two verses. Vasudeva para veda.
Vasudeva para veda.
Vasudeva para makha.
Vasudeva para makha.
Vasudeva para yoga.
Vasudeva para yoga.
Vasudeva para kriya.
Vasudeva para kriya.
Vasudeva param jnanam.
Vasudeva param jnanam.
Vasudeva parantapah.
Vasudeva parantapah.
Vasudeva paro dharmo.
Vasudeva paro dharmo.
Vasudeva para gatihi.
Vasudeva para gatihi.
Vasudeva para veda. The ultimate object of Vedas is Vasudeva, Krishna. Right? Vedaischa sarvam sarvai rahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda videva chaham. He is the knower of Vedanta. He is the compiler of Vedanta. By studying all Vedas, he is to be known. So, is Vasudeva Paraveda. He is the ultimate object of all Vedas. So, worship him. Perform bhakti to him. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. Then, Vasudeva Paramakhaha. The purpose of sacrifice is to please Vasudeva, Krishna. Ignarthat karmano nitra lokoyam karma bandhana. That verse you know already. So, Bharat Maharaj was doing yajnas. In the fifth canto. So he was doing yajna. Apparently it's a karmakandic sacrifice in the eyes of regular people in general. But as he is offering so and so oblation to say sun, Surya Swaha, Chandra Swaha, he is meditating on the eyes of the Lord. He is offering obeisances to the arms of the Lord, he's offering obeisances to some demigods, he is meditating on the arms of the Lord. Like that, for every oblation, he is meditating on certain limb of Krishna. So his whole apparent karmakandic sacrifice is a bhakti process and meditation on Krishna's form, Krishna's mercy. So like that, although devotees perform sacrifices, they do it in a devotional spirit. It's their bhakti only. And ultimately Krishna is the benefactor of all sacrifices. భోక్తారం యజ్ఞతపసాం సర్వలోకమహేశ్వరం సుహృదం సర్వభూతానాం జ్ఞాత్వానం శాంతి మృచ్ఛతి శాంతి చై దెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ద భోక్త కృష్ణ ఇస్ ద ప్రొపరేటర్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ద మాస్టర్ అండ్ కంట్రోలర్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ద ఎంజాయర్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఆల్ ఎండీవర్స్ వాట్ హీ ఈజ్ సపోజ్ టు ఎంజాయ్ ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు ఎంజాయ్ దెన్ వన్ విల్ బి కాల్డ్ యాజ్ థీఫ్ నెక్స్ట్ వాసుదేవ పరా యోగ సో అష్టాంగ యోగ ఈజ్ మెంట్ టు రియలైజ్ వాసుదేవ పార్షియల్లీ భక్తి యోగ ఈజ్ మెంట్ టు రియలైజ్ ద లార్డ్ కంప్లీట్లీ రైట్ యాజ్ భగవాన్ సో వాట్ ఎవర్ మే బి ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ యోగా అల్టిమేట్లీ ఇట్ గివ్స్ యూ ద రియలైజేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఎన్ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ వాసుదేవ పరా క్రియా ఆల్ ది క్రియాస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆర్ రివార్డెడ్ బై కృష్ణ ఓన్లీ సో వాట్ ఎవర్ ఎండీవర్స్ వీ మే డూ యత్ కరోషి యదశ్నా యజ్జుహోషి దదాస్యత్ తత్ యత్ తపస్సి కౌంతేయ తత్ కురుష్వ మదర్పణం యూ మే డూ ఎనీ యాక్టివిటీ బట్ గివ్ దట్ టు మీ బికాస్ ఐఎమ్ వాసుదేవ పరా క్రియా వాసుదేవ పరం జ్ఞానం ఇన్ ద గీత 18th చాప్టర్ ఇన్ గీత సమ్వేర్ దెర్ ఆర్ డిఫరెంట్ ఐటమ్స్ ఫర్ కల్చరింగ్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ కల్మినేటింగ్ ఇన్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ ఓన్లీ హీస్ ద పరం జ్ఞానం యజ్ఞానం అద్వయం సో వాసుదేవ పరం తప సో కృష్ణ ఆల్ ది ఆస్టిరిటీస్ ఆర్ తపస్య ఇస్ మెంట్ టు బి పెర్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఓన్లీ టు సాటిస్ఫై కృష్ణ వాసుదేవ వాసుదేవ పరం తప రావణరీడ్ తపస్య హిరణ్యకశిపూజిడ్ తపస్య బట్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద బికాస్ దే డిడ్ నాట్ డూ తపస్య టు ప్లీజ్ వాసుదేవ దేర్ తపస్య ఈజ్ యూజ్లెస్ దే తపస్య రూయిన్డ్ దెమ్ బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ డూ తపస్య టు ప్లీజ్ వాసుదేవ దెన్ దట్ విల్ ఎలివేట్ ఎ పర్సన్ తప్యంతే లోకతాపేన సాధవ ప్రాయశో జనా పరమారాధనం తద్ధి పురుషస్యాఖిలాత్మన తప్యంతే లోకతాపేన మీన్స్ గ్రేట్ సోల్స్ యాక్సెప్ట్ సో మెనీ ఇన్కన్వీనియన్సెస్ అండ్ వాలంటరీ ఆస్టిరిటీస్ జస్ట్ టు ప్లీజ్ జస్ట్ ఫర్ ద వెల్ఫేర్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ జనరల్ అండ్ దాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఆస్టిరిటీ ఈజ్ గ్రేట్లీ ప్లీజింగ్ టు ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ పురుషస్య అఖిలాత్మన పరమారాధనం తద్ధి హైయెస్ట్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ వర్షిప్ నెక్స్ట్ వాసుదేవ పరో ధర్మ వాసుదేవ పరో ధర్మ ఈజ్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ రిలీజియన్ ఆర్ రిలీజియన్ ద హైయెస్ట్ రిలీజియన్ ఈజ్ టు లవ్ కృష్ణ టు ఆఫర్ లవింగ్ సర్వీస్ టు కృష్ణ వాసుదేవ పరో ధర్మం సవై వంశాం పరో ధర్మో యతో భక్తుల భక్షతి దెన్ వాసుదేవ పరా గతి గతి మీన్స్ డెస్టినేషన్ గోల్ where you are supposed to reach the prayojan that is vasudeva the supreme goal of life is krishna vasudeva so thus whatever the process of bhakti that we have studied today that bhakti is supposed to be performed to please lord vasudeva no one else thank you all very much granthraj shrimad bhagavatam ki jai shila prabhupad ki jai tomorrow we will complete this chapter and mostly the second chapter, third chapter also. Third chapter, a significant section of the chapter is on the incarnations of the Lord. So we will go through them quickly because throughout Bhagavatam these incarnations are described. Only they have enumerated here. Thank you.